Hey, guys, I have to tell you about Whitmire's. And if you haven't tried Whitmire's, well, shame on you. They have so many great products. And right now, if you haven't booked your holiday party yet, or maybe you just want to book a birthday party, maybe you have a friend whose birthday's coming up in, a couple weeks, and you want to do a surprise party for him, here's a great idea. Take them to Whitmire's, do a barrel pick with your group, and they'll bottle it for you right there, and you can take it home. You can do that for your company parties as well. It's a great, great way to get everybody together and do something really fun and unique. You can tour the distillery and try all of their great products. You can get the Space City Vodka, and of course, their new signature drink, which is the Rye Bourbon Blend, and they've got that in liquor stores all over the city. And that's a great thing about Whitmire's, man. Travis is always coming up with great new stuff, and this one is fantastic. They're at 16711 Hollister in Houston, or you just go to whitmires.com to book your tour or find out all about those company parties. And, of course, make sure you pick up Whitmire's all over the liquor stores in the city of Houston and over in Beaumont. Whitmire's, Houston's first distillery, Houston's best distillery.
The Blitz, KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, you know the number for that. And if you missed the first hour, lots of good stuff. Very sportsy, little Buzz Williams. And all available on podcastarena.com. Lots more stuff to get to today. Talked a little bit about the Seahawks, talked a little bit about Ron Rivera, talked about coaching openings, college and pro, so a little bit of everything. Casey said, I'm not sure if you mentioned this yet, but AJ, you were spot on yesterday. Bailey missed that fourth quarter PAT, which at the time severely changed the game.
Yep.
Kickers are mental midgets.
Yep. That's it's affecting outcomes of games, guys.
And, well, for those of you who wager,
oh yeah,
that's an issue, too.
Especially when it's Vikes plus three.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
And then from the couple things from the Twitch channel, JPW says, I'm a couple days late, but wanted to say the show with Charlie Friday was excellent.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I'm getting great feedback from that. I don't know how much fun Charlie had doing it, but we certainly enjoyed it. So, yeah, almost everybody thought it was fun for me, which is all I really care about. Because as long as we're having fun, usually everybody else is.
Dude, this is the crazy. I mean, I'm not going to bore people with minutiae here of this basketball game, I bet. But it is really an outrageous thing happening right now. They're down to under 5 minutes to go in the first half in this game between Indiana State and North Dakota State. North Dakota State didn't make their first shot until 11 minutes into the game.
That's not ideal, right?
No. Also not ideal is now with less than 5 minutes, that's still the only shot they've made.
Oh, God.
They are 1 of 19 from the field.
And what's the score?
20-4.
Well, look at the bright side. You got them at what, +4?
Yeah.
There's no way they can be this bad the rest of the game. No way.
Well,
0% chance. 0.0 that they go one for their next 19.
It's a lock that the next shot goes in.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying they're not going 1 for 19.
Okay, you're probably right.
19 shots.
My goodness. In that interview with Buzz, which, by the way, we talked to Coach Williams earlier in the morning. He's got a pretty early schedule, so I just come in early on Tuesday mornings and talk to him on the phone. And he said something when I was talking about, you know, starting to play his freshman more and sort of not looking at this season as like a lost cause per se, but definitely moving towards next season.
And trying to improve it over the second half of the year
and
for next year.
He said something that's really interesting to hear, especially given what happened at UH this year with the football program. And Buzz said, while I'd love to get my young guys more time and I'd love to prepare for what's going to be happening down the road, you know, it's not fair to the guys who have been here and are running out of years. And, you know, there's no time for you to just take a year off. You only have a certain amount of years in your life, and you can't just throw one out to hope you can be better years down the road. That's not fair to anybody here. And I thought it was a really interesting philosophy and totally different from what Dana Holgorsen had to say. But, you know, Buzz says he's going to do their best. I think
Buzz. But it's similar situations, too. It's guys coming in with other guys' players.
Yep.
And with relatively high expectations to be successful pretty quickly. So, yeah, I think it's an interesting contrast.
And I think that he knows that this year is going to be rough. I think there's not much. You just lost to Fairfield.
Yeah.
You know, there's not too. And they shot 22% from the field against Temple, which, I mean, North Dakota State would pay for that. But Buzz Williams wasn't happy about 22% from the field against Temple. So
I see this is going to be a thing today, isn't it? North Dakota State.
Yeah. To finish eighth in an 8-team tournament.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the standard that is going to be acceptable at A&M. And not that, not that there's going to be any kind of hot seat or any kind of, you know, pressure on him to win right away. But I think on himself, he wants to compete now. And right now he didn't have the bodies to do it.
Well, the good thing about basketball, as you well know, you can get one recruiting class and change things in a hurry.
Yeah.
And two recruiting classes, you can make a huge step. So he'll get it done there. I have zero doubt that he'll be successful at A&M. It's just maybe not this year. Vida on the Twitch asked, are you guys watching Watchmen? I am. I'm withholding judgment because I'm a little scared it's going to turn into Westworld on me after this last episode. I thought, it's been good, but it's also one of those shows that's they're jumping around so much in timelines now that if it's one of those where it all makes sense at the very end, I'm going to be a little disappointed because, I wish people would quit doing that. It's like we're clever filmmakers, so this is how we're going to do it. There's some really good stuff about it that I like, but the last two have me giving pause before I'll start saying, oh, yeah, you got to watch it. There's only two left, so it'll only be a couple weeks.
I finished Peaky Blinders solid. I mean, I enjoyed it, and I was like,
was that season 5 or 4?
I think 5.
Okay.
And I asked my wife after the episode last night, I was like, how many episodes are left? And she said, none. I was, what? So now I'm back to the waiting game.
I'm about halfway through that Devil Next Door, which is a documentary about.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah, you'll like that. It's right up your alley. It's about the trial for the guy they thought was a Nazi, was like this really awful Nazi at the.
Who like went to he came to America, right?
Yeah, he was living in Cincinnati and did for years, and so the whole thing is about whether or not he was actually this Ivan the Terrible or he was just a guy who's living in the U.S. And it was a huge, huge trial at the time, which I vaguely remember. And the good thing is I don't remember the whole story.
And there's people who were like looking at him and he's like an old feeble man at this point. And they're like, well, how can we punish him for something he did 60 years ago? And it's like, easy. He's a Nazi.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's fascinating stuff. I'm right at the part where we're about to find out what happened on the appeal. So I haven't gone and read anything to see what actually happened now because it makes it more fun.
I don't think it's one of those things where you're just allowed to switch teams later in life. Right. You know?
But apparently, though, there were several.
It's like, oh, I grew up a Cowboys fan. I'm an Eagles fan now. No, it doesn't work. You were a Nazi.
Yeah, well, apparently there were several guys who managed to get to the United States and live completely different lives after that. And this is about that. So it's really good so far. The only problem is a lot of it is the testimony from the trial in Israel. It's all in Hebrew, so you have to, it's all subtitle. So you kind of have to pay attention.
Okay.
Which I don't like, but if I know going in I'm going to have to do that, then it's okay. But so far it's been fantastic. And somebody asked about Mandalorian. I haven't watched it yet because I haven't done Disney.
My wife and kids like it.
Yeah, I have basically said I'm out on all Star Wars, but enough people have told me that this is good. That I should that I would like it. So I will be giving it a try. So I do trust you guys when that many people tell me, oh, man, it's really good. And it seems like it's different enough from the other Star Wars crap that, you know, hopefully I'll enjoy it. Peter asks, is it time to pay quality kickers more money? Yeah, I mean, the problem is even a quality kicker can disappear in a hurry. Remember, the Bears paid Cody Parkey.
Yeah.
What happened?
The problem is there's only one quality kicker. So it's Justin Tucker. And Justin Tucker makes like $5 million a year. It's pretty good for kicking footballs. But who else are you going to pay that money to? Nobody else. There's only one Justin Tucker.
Yeah. Well, and Robbie Gould you would have paid. In fact, the 49ers did to keep him.
Yep.
How'd that work out? Not so good.
Everybody misses 9 kicks through 12 games, Fred. What do you mean?
Only if they're named Fairbairn or Vinatieri. So he says, Mandalorian is the first Star Wars content that people aren't arguing about. It's just that good. Oh, I did see a bunch of arguments somehow about a woman being involved in this one. So...
Kenny says, you watched the last season of Man in the High Castle. I've not caught up. I've watched the earlier season. I haven't watched the new one. During football season, it's so much harder for me to especially to have multiple series going. But, and now this part of football season is even worse for me because there's college hoops going nonstop. So
we're about to lose college football.
Yeah, things will get easier for me.
I got through about three quarters of the first season and ejected on that. It just didn't do anything for me, which, you know, that happens sometimes. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776, if you wish to get in. I don't know if you've seen the latest Garrett Cole news. Well, not really news, but none of this is shocking. But the Yankees are making him a top priority.
Of course.
Shocker.
Yeah.
And the Angels, who are also making him a top priority, are basically saying they will sign Martin Maldonado if it means getting Garrett Cole. So he gets his own personal
Machete?
Catcher. Yeah.
Didn't they have Martin Maldonado?
Yep.
Yeah, they did. But they'll re-sign him.
Okay.
If it means getting...
wouldn't Martin Maldonado have something to say about that? Or is he just an indentured servant to Garrett Cole?
Well,
you're gonna have to pay for my man too.
I mean, if they're gonna try to money whip him,
yeah. If they're gonna pay him more money than he would get anywhere else, just to keep him with Garrett Cole, I'm sure he would take it. Hell, he was out of work until late last year.
It's like a night with his squire.
Yeah,
I'll need water for my horse, and I'll need a meal for my squire. Oh well, okay. But
you have to take my ward too.
Yeah.
My young ward, who I spend a lot of time with.
Mister, can I help you with that saddle?
I don't know what cowboys call their squires, but...
Take me to the steam room, Garrett. Joey says, don't think I've heard you guys talk MLB Hall of Fame ballot yet. Normally I wouldn't ask, but I've seen a lot about Jeter being surefire Hall of Famer and a lock for first ballot entry. Doesn't he fall in a similar category as Biggio, though? Absolutely not. Oh, my God. Really, Joey?
No.
Go look at his World Series rings. That's the difference.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not even close to the same thing. Yeah. And I hear that. I've heard people say that, and it drives me crazy because Jeter hit about 20-something points higher than Biggio over the course of their career. And when Jeter left the game at age 40, still relatively productive dude. I mean, he wasn't obviously what he was, you know, in his 20s and 30s, but he wasn't an embarrassment either. I mean, Craig Biggio, his last few years where he hung on to get to 3,000 hits, boy, it was a lot of rough stuff. And
the simple thing is that...
But even when they were at their best, Derek Jeter was a better player than him.
Well, again, Hall of Fame resumes are... If you win a bunch of World Series, that helps your resume. And he was part of some great teams where, at times, he was the best player.
Yep.
So... Yeah, I hate that comparison. I really do.
And had about 400 more hits and about 100 less games played over the course of their career.
Yeah, so...
No, not that... They shouldn't even be in the same Hall of Fame. That's the yeah, problem.
Well, it's... Well, and there's an argument about whether or not Biggio should even be in there, but hey, that's...
That was my veiled hint at that.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. There's to me, there's the Hall of... The real Hall of Fame, which Derek Jeter definitely belongs in, and then there's the Hall of Fame where they let in guys who... okay.
I hope that because there's not a lot of guys on the ballot, like not a lot of new guys that you could say like, oh, this guy, we got to get him in. It gives me hope that guys like, you know, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens will get more of a look.
I hope so. I mean, those guys belong in there. I'll tell you, who's a Hall of Fame lawyer, Lawyer Dave. Yeah, he was inducted years ago because he's that good. What's going on, Dave?
Well, I am getting ready for the holiday season like everybody else, and traffic is absolutely miserable. So if you blitzers get in a wreck, call me, Lawyer Dave, Houston-based lawyer David Mestemaker, 713-626-8900, 24 hours, 7 days a week, we answer it.
Yeah, and they can also get you on Twitter at Lawyer Dave Law or at the website lawyerdave.com. And if they can't remember all that, they can just hit me up on Twitter and I'll put them in touch with you, right?
That seems to be the easiest way for people to find me, Fred, is that you tell them how to get a hold of me and then they do, which works perfect.
Yeah, well, and I guarantee I get a couple people a week, so I have no problem. If you ask me, I'll tell you. And you'll also, here's the thing, if you're in an accident, you can't afford to go to the doctor and you can't afford to pay a bunch of money up front for a lawyer. That's not what you do, right?
Right. We take our cases, almost all of them, on a contingency fee, meaning we get a percentage when we win together. If we lose, they don't owe me anything. And, yeah, very important for the blitzers and everybody else. If you don't have money to pay for a doctor out of pocket, and, gosh, who does? We will set you up with a doctor that you won't have to pay any money out of your pocket up front. You'll pay at the end when you win. That's how it works.
Yeah, and you're based here in Houston, but you practice all over the state. Give them the number one more time. Let them know how they can get in touch with you.
Fellas, you can get a hold of me at 713-626-8900, or Lawyer Dave Law is my Twitter handle. Send me a tweet, or hit me up, lawyerdave.com on the email. I'd be glad to talk to any of you anytime.
All right, they need a lawyer. What do we tell them?
Better dial Dave.
Is the Blitz. The Blitz
on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Worst day of the week, but not going to be the worst show of the week. That's for sure. We're already, I think we're way ahead of being the worst show of the week.
Yeah, I think so.
Couple people asking about The Irishman. AJ hasn't watched it yet. I did a non-spoiler review on Friday, I think. Was it Friday?
Yes.
Last week. But I loved it. I know there's been some people who were about it. I loved it so much I went and bought the book that it was based on. I highly recommend you do not do that. It is so bad. And now, if you're a lawyer, you'll like it because it's written by a former prosecutor. And there's way too many pages about this trial that Jimmy Hoffa was involved in. And this is probably the first time in years I've ejected on a book before I finished it. It was that bad. And plus, a lot of the stuff about Sheeran is just, it kind of sounds like an old man bragging about himself. And so I'm kind of skeptical about some of the stories. But the movie does pull those stories almost word for word out of the book, which is good. And it eliminates all the crap.
Yeah.
And I know it's 3+ hours and people complain about that. But as somebody pointed out when I was talking about it, I mean, they'll binge watch an 8-hour series in one day. So, get up and walk off for a little bit. It's take a break, just like you would. There's some points where it stops. Robert says, you were right, Fred. People are complaining about the lack of female speaking lines in The Irishman. See, I'm a firm believer of you know, the characters, you don't force characters into a story that aren't there just so that you can have strong female characters. And, I mean, is every movie supposed to have that now?
Yeah.
And it's not just that. It's, you know, I think when people say, oh, well, there's not enough of this, there's not enough of that. Well, the story, you know, appreciate the story for what it is. And in this case, there really was no place for a strong female character.
No, there's no place for a lady.
Well, it's the old school mob. And yeah, there's mob movies about women. So go, if you really need that, go. And yeah, you know, I don't mean to be cavalier about it, because I know it's been an issue for a long time. But, you know, from a storytelling perspective, it made no sense. So
Joey says, long career with big total numbers, but per game and per season numbers hardly ever seemed above average. Has all those World Series rings, but was he ever one of the two or three best players on those teams? Yes to all of those things.
Yeah, man.
Yes. Joey, no, he wasn't a guy who hit a bunch of home runs. There are, there's like, maybe 69 guys in the history of baseball, position players, who have a career WAR over 70. Derek Jeter's one of them. He's 72.4. You know who's 72.5? Mike Trout. Derek Jeter was a great player. He wasn't some stat collector. He was every year one of the best players in the league. He finished in the top 10 in MVP voting 8 times.
Yeah, I'll do respect, Joey. Quit while you're behind, man. I hate to, you know.
I don't see the comp between him and Biggio.
I don't either. And I don't know where that's coming from. So it's kind of like explain playoff tiebreaker.
It's really like I understand there's a lot of people who don't like Derek Jeter because he was a Yankee, but most of those people are reasonable enough to say, he was a great player. I still hated him because he played for the Yankees, but there's no denying in my mind that Derek Jeter was a great baseball player. I think anybody trying to tell you differently is crazy or just didn't watch him play.
Yeah, I just don't know where that's coming from. If it's just, I hate the Yankees, cool. And look, it's easy to hate Derek Jeter. He was great at his job. All he did was win. He got to bang every hot woman that ever lived. I mean, yeah, it's like he was the Cristiano Ronaldo of baseball. And guess what? People hate Cristiano Ronaldo if they're not a fan of his team. So, you know, it's just, I mean, to even try to argue against him being a first ballot Hall of Famer to me is a complete waste of breath. With all due respect.
With all due respect.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Deacon mentioned he's also one of the most reliable playoff performers on a dynasty.
Oh, no doubt.
And, yeah. So, I don't know where these things are coming from today. That's two really weird.
Yeah, I mean, that is a little out of left field. Like, yeah. I didn't think I've never
maybe
thought
deep
of
shortstop.
I've never thought of Derek Jeter as a guy people would be like, yeah, but is he a Hall of Famer? Okay.
Yeah, and for those of you who are trying to put Biggio on that level, go look at Biggio's postseason stats.
Well, that's
people tend to forget.
That's fun.
Yeah, no, it's not fun. And listen, he's in the Hall of Fame, so what's the point?
Right.
You know, it's
Craig Biggio was a good player for a really long time.
Exactly.
Derek Jeter was a great player
for a pretty long time.
I mean, yeah. For 20 years, pretty damn long time.
He still could have played another year if he wanted to.
Could have.
But, you know, he wanted to settle down.
He's got better stuff to do.
Yeah. Gift baskets, mostly. Oh, boy. 713-780-ESPN. Yeah, I don't know where this is coming from today. That's you know, we'll try to upgrade the discussions here as we move forward. And tell you one thing you can upgrade right now.
Oh man, can you?
Is your the linens you're sleeping on. And Brooklinen is celebrating their days of gifting. They've got daily promotions on different items, and listen, they've got over 50,000 plus 5-star reviews and counting. Yeah. These things are great. My wife says we're not getting anything else other than Brooklinen. That's just a fact.
Yeah. I mean, it's high quality sheets without the price tag that you would normally pay for those same high quality sheets. And if you care about the softness, you care about comfort, Brooklinen has everything for you. They're so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, towels come with a lifetime warranty. This is a good company. You're going to want to do business with them. Check out their website and see everything that they've got for you. It's going to change the way you sleep, which in turn is going to just change the way you live. Brooklinen.com, BROOKLINEN.com. Check it out now. Brooklinen, and everything you need to live your most comfortable life.
Till my spirit's path reaches its end, and I'm called home to the source to sleep again. Till I'm needed once more to descend to the physical, to spread kindness to those whose hearts have grown cold.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Behold the king. The King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And that music means it is time for the star of stage and screen, TV, radio, newspaper, Jerome Solomon. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jerome Solomon. Jerome, what's going on, man?
No star radio this week because, you know, Texas A&M basketball, hot and heavy on Sunday morning.
You could use a week off. I figured you could use a week off.
I could use the week off. It was not bad. I got to sleep in personally. That's with a late night Sunday night game. So.
Yeah, big deal. What'd you mean? And plus, that Aggie game was really amazing.
It was a thriller.
Aren't they all?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, almost half of them have been. Well, speaking of thrillers, that was for you. It was kind of like your new wife finally she meets your ex-wife, and your ex-wife always punked her out, and now your new wife finally kind of punked her out, your ex-wife. So, I mean, how did it feel for you seeing your ex-wife get punked out by your new wife?
It's about time she stepped up to the plate. You know what I'm saying?
She was embarrassing you.
You know, it's supposed to be an upgrade. It's a sad life you live if you make a downgrade. It is really hilarious that that first year after I left covering the Patriots and came back to Houston, they played the Texans that year, and Belichick in the conference call with the media said, "Oh yeah, this is the Jerome Solomon Bowl." Of course, they went out and won like 40-7 or something. It was like, thanks, coach. Put a whipping on him. But we talked about it last week. I was not surprised. I mean, I think these Texans are a really decent football team. And in this season and probably, hell, last few seasons, there aren't any great teams. There are a bunch of good ones. And a decent team can beat a good one any week. And the Texans are decent, you know?
I'm kind of curious if you thought Belichick was trolling O'Brien a little bit in his post-game news conference when he twice said, we have to coach better and we have to play better.
No, that's kind of his standard. So it's more of Belichick. I mean, we're so used to hearing O'Brien say it that he's just parroting Belichick. So that's what Bill says all the time. Whenever they lose, that's his standard. He doesn't say much of anything of any value. So, all right. And frankly, the Texans aren't worthy of him trolling. You know what I mean? They haven't done anything. And when I say worthy, I'm not trying to slam the Texans in terms of quality. I'm saying the Texans haven't done anything to make the Patriots mad. You know what I mean? Like, as much as, you know, they played so often over the last 7 or 8 years, the Patriots don't even think twice about the Texans. They're not worthy of their attention yet. And maybe they are now.
On the flip side, we talked a lot about it yesterday, and Brady not having the best season. Is it as simple as not having Gronk, or are we seeing the beginning of the decline?
I think we're definitely at the beginning of the decline. That's a given. But the thing is, we probably were at the beginning of the decline 2 years ago. But because he had Gronk, that's just a game changer. I mean, think about it. As horrible as he looked for 2.5 quarters Sunday night, put Gronk on the field. It's a different game. And Brady could play the exact same way, but we see him differently. You know what I mean? And, yeah, he's played with, you know, substandard receivers. Or not substandard. He's played with receivers who weren't great. You know, wasn't the best receiving core in the league, and he carried them. Well, he's not really capable of carrying them anymore, especially if the offensive line isn't as good. And we've seen enough of the Texans to know if they got that much pressure on Brady, the offensive line of the Patriots is not very good. We've been on the beginning of the decline for a while. It's just a matter of how fast will he fall off, and Gronk leaving made him drop a couple of extra layers of floors on the elevator down to, okay, it's time for you to get out of the league.
What I'm seeing with him and what I've really seen with their offense all season long is, and part of it is the receivers that they've got, but there's just no willingness to go down the field. I mean, like Brady, if he's airing it out, it's like 12 yards down the field. It's so different than we've seen in the past that it's alarming to see that I mean, his offense is dink and dunk. It looks like Ryan Tannehill all of a sudden.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's always been dink. It hadn't been dink and dunk. It's always been dink, you know. But it's dink, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Hit you for 40 yards downfield. Well, it's probably fair to say that he can't get it downfield with the accuracy and velocity that he used to, but he also, these guys can't get open. I mean, the Texans cornerbacks were covering them like blankets. They were not running wild and free, you know. And then after it got late in the game, they started doing a little damage, but even a lot of that was still underneath and moving along. So I hesitate to, you know, to completely slam Brady because I know he's not what he used to be. He can't be. I mean, he's 42 years old. But his receivers are not doing him a whole lot of help. I mean, and you can tell the kind of stuff that he's caught on sidelines yelling at them. That's the kind of stuff you yell at guys in training camp. I mean, they don't know they need to be aggressive. They don't know they need to be quick. They don't know they need to, you know, go after the ball and not be robotic. They're not good. I mean, it's just that simple.
Well, given what we've seen and knowing that he's probably declining, and they do have, I still think, an elite defense, although it didn't look elite the other night. But do you still consider the Patriots a serious Super Bowl contender?
Until they're dead. And I'm not talking like, you know.
Until Bill and Tom are dead?
I'm talking dead. Buried. Funeral, you know, memorial service awards. Belichick and Brady are there. Yes, they're a serious contender. And they only have to win three of the last four games, probably. Maybe even two, but certainly three. And they've got home field, you know, not home field throughout the playoffs, but they get the first round bye. And that brings them a home game that they can win. And do you really think the Patriots can't go into Baltimore and win a game? Please. and that defense,
I figure they'll adjust.
The only two people to get to them really have been Baltimore and the Texans. That doesn't mean they'll get to them the next time. So no, they're very much a legitimate contender because they're no great team. I mean, there really isn't. The Ravens are good and playing extremely well. They're not a great team. And so when there's no great team on any given Sunday, you know, the Patriots are the best team on any given Sunday. Shoot, for the last, you know, in the fourth quarter, what Brady was doing there, that wasn't just because the Texans had left, you know, slacked off and were in prevent. No, that was them finally finding a bit of a groove. You don't think they can do that at the first quarter of a game against the Texans or the Ravens? Oh, yeah, they can. So, no, I think this is going to make it even more intriguing in the playoffs. And the same goes for the Chiefs. I mean, we know the Chiefs are not great, but you don't think Mahomes can show up and drop 35 on a team in the playoffs, on any team in the league? Oh, yeah, he can. So, but we don't know if they will. It'll be fun.
Jerome Solomon, our guest. And, Jerome, I guess it came out again, which we already probably suspected was going to happen, that the Texans are probably sticking with the no GM thing, which really means Bill O'Brien's the GM. Analyze Bill O'Brien, the general manager, as opposed to Bill O'Brien, the coach.
It's difficult to really get a grasp on because we haven't seen it for a long enough of a period of time. I mean, and the Texans, from the time that Rick Smith took over as general manager, they've been really good at, you know, street free agent pickups. and in-season moves, et cetera. So, and that has continued. And I know that there's been a whole lot of changeover and turnover since then, but they just seem to have been better at that than most teams. And the Patriots have always been better at that than most teams, where they find some guy off the scrap heap that nobody seemed to want it who comes in and contributes. So that I'll give him full credit for, but wow, they've been able to continue doing that even with all the new scouts and all the new pro personnel player people that they have and Bill making the final decision. That has been key. What will be the issue will be long-term vision, and we won't know that until it plays out. Clearly, the long-term vision of Clowney needs to get out of here, let's bring in some other people, hasn't really played out. And then you can tell me all about Jacob Martin made a couple plays the last couple weeks. That was still a dumb move. You didn't get maximum value for the Clowney move. The Tunsil move, I think, it doesn't matter if he's a GM or not GM. Anybody would have pretty much made that move. So it's too early to evaluate. It has not been horrible, though. And that's, but, you know, I think for the last couple of years, he's the quasi-general manager anyway, even with Rick Smith in charge. And the one time that Bill O'Brien wasn't making all of the moves, they got Deshaun Watson. So, like I said, if he was the general manager, they would have drafted Deshaun Watson, and what we'll be talking about now.
We'll be talking about
a new coaching staff, probably.
Hey, don't sell him short. He got Mingo in that deal, and Mingo's out there doing Mingo things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said,
Mingo's basically Clowney.
Hey, you know what? He has one thing in common with Clowney. He had a dumb penalty. There's that.
He managed to get into the box score for a change for the week. Yeah. And that's not even his fault. I mean, it's not like, you know, he's going, hey, trade me for Jadeveon Clowney, please. You know what I mean? Like
that dude's just happy to be on a roster.
Exactly. Yeah. The guy wasn't even going to make the team. And so he gets traded and put on the 53, which the Texans didn't have to do. So they kept him anyway, and they kept him around. And then, you know, he got on national TV the other night. He embarrassing his family, but he was there.
Yeah, all right. That's Jerome Solomon, Chronicle columnist. He's on KPRC Channel 2. He's also on ESPN 97.5 on Sunday mornings with Houston Sports Show, TV and radio. Jerome, appreciate the time as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Thanks for having me on, fellas. Catch you later.
All right.
Boy, people are so protective of Brady.
Yeah.
Patriots cut Antonio Brown, cut Josh Gordon, cut Demaryius Thomas, and wonder why they can't get anything going with Brady. Well, AB's not on a team. Josh Gordon is basically a corpse in Seattle. And Demaryius Thomas is averaging 40 yards per game with zero touchdowns in New York.
Is that good or...
I don't think they would have let those guys walk away if there wasn't good reason to.
All right. Quick break. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
ESPN 97.5 is celebrating Christmas early with our 12 Days of Christmas. All day today, we're giving away tickets to the Battleground 2K19 tournament, Wednesday, December 18th at Toyota Center. At 550, caller 10 to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to see the triple header, Baylor versus UT Martin, Utah State versus South Florida, and Oregon State versus UTSA. Stay tuned for your chance to win all day, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. For ticket and game info, head to battleground2k.com. I just saw Eric walk in. That always brightens.
That's good news.
Doesn't that always brighten the day?
Oh, yes.
So, all right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
man, I've got a bunch of really good gems that people have sent me. I'm going to go with this one today. If I didn't use yours today, it's probably getting used tomorrow or Thursday because they're really good. But this one I got from Lawyer Dave, because many times we've talked about, you know, rigging something in our house. Like I've always said, I want a crossbow out there in case somebody tries to steal my stuff and he tells it's illegal.
Yeah, tells it's against the law. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's frowned upon.
Well, we go to Van Buren, Maine, which is almost Canada, where...
Which is almost Mexico when you think about it.
Depends on...
It's North America, pretty much neighbors.
Yeah, except we're not building a wall up there yet. I know they're building a wall.
Not yet.
They're building a wall to keep us out and making us pay for it.
It's about time.
But, well, Ronald Sear, 65 years old, phoned the police on Thanksgiving evening saying he'd been shot. And so an officer, an ambulance.
Oh, no, I've been shot.
Oh, geez, no way. And the United States Border Patrol all responded with emergency medical help. But he died as a result of his injuries. Officers discovered that the front door of the residence had been outfitted with a device designed to fire a handgun should anyone attempt to enter the door.
His own house?
Yes.
Oh,
he got
no.
killed by his own booby trap.
Yeah, that's the problem with you when you do something like that. And then you go out boozing or whatever.
Oh, God, yeah.
Wise.
That's
wise.
I could see that happening to me. This is why I shouldn't have crossbows on my camera out front, right? Because I'd be staggering in one night and push the wrong code in.
Babe, did you shut off the crossbow?
No, that was the crossbow code, not the door code. Ah! Yeah. So that's what happened to Mr. Sear. And the town is about 2,200 people. It's more than 300 miles north of Portland, Maine, and borders Canada. And apparently he had a bunch of unknown devices in the house. And I'd give a public service announcement on this, but he's already dead. You know what? Get a dog or two. Maybe don't rig your front door with a gun. It's 2,200 people. What could happen? What are you expecting, a moose to walk in?
Yeah.
And small town, you're relatively safe, brother. And yeah, if you live in Houston, yeah, absolutely. Rig the door. Shotguns and, you know, Uzis and AR-50, whatever.
Better dial Dave.
Exactly. Well, you can't do that. I'm kidding. It's like people taking it seriously that I said I love my dogs more than I love my kids. That was a joke, okay? Do not.
You charged people up that day. And then you were like, how could you believe that that's true? And I knew it was true, but nobody else did. So no one else could believe it, but I knew the truth.
I was trying to be funny.
Not both your dogs, but just that one dog.
I do not love that dog more than the other dog either. I love them both the same.
That's a lie, certainly.
Not really, especially since the older one is, I don't know how much more time I'm going to have her.
I mean, I'll be honest. I have two dogs, and I like one way more than the other one. I can discriminate.
I like them both. I mean, the puppy's more fun because we got her when she was an actual puppy, and so she's kind of grown up with our personality, which isn't a good thing, but... You know,
I like one because she's really smart and she can do things that even my kids can't do. And she's a built-in security system. And I don't like the other one as much because he's a stupid idiot. So yeah. It's really an easy choice for me.
Well, I will say this. The older one has upped her security game since screwing up. And since the little dog's been there, she's... Yeah, she's upped her game considerably.
Well, I remember the time that she protected your house against that cat.
couldn't stop a burglar, but went after the cat. Yep, great, wonderful. But now, I guarantee you, though, the negative to this, now anytime there's any noise outside, even the smallest noise, they both start barking.
Yeah.
And I don't really complain about it because, you know, if somebody's going to try to get in again, well, got a security system that will go off, but... Yeah, you know, at least now they'll hear loud dog barks, and the little one sounds like she's a lot bigger than she is. So maybe that'll chase them away.
Yeah, our big dog is way scarier than the security system.
Well,
like the mailman is scared to eat. Like there's a door, and the mailman's still scared. Like the dog's just gonna open the door and run out and get him.
Well, the older one's the sweetest dog in the world, but she's so freaking protective, and I can't get into the details where we got into an issue where another dog attacked the little dog and. Little dog ran behind the wife, and Derby thought the other dog was attacking the wife, and it did not end well for the other dog. And It's like, oh, God. And but because she's sweet as hell. But boy, when she thinks somebody's in danger, and I like that about her. That's I'm Team Derby when it comes to that. Be protective. All right, here was another one that I was going to do. I'm not going to save it because it's going to get old if I do. Boy, 553, that's a long run, man.
It's because I've been sober the last couple days. I haven't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no beer in me. I haven't had any energy drinks.
Oh, wow, you're doing that thing again?
Locked down.
Yeah, I think I'm actually next week going to do, going to cut it off for 2 weeks, no alcohol, and, you know, basically diet. Because I got to get about 10 pounds back off. I put on 10 pounds, so I got to get that off.
Fatso.
Yeah, I know. I feel fat, believe me. So I was in the gym today, and I felt like the marshmallow man. I was like, brr. But, okay, here's another story for you. A man was shot multiple times early Monday morning.
I hate when that happens.
In Crosby.
Especially in the morning. Dude.
Well, this is a...
I haven't even had my coffee, and you're shooting me multiple times?
This is in Crosby, Texas.
Okay.
Not too far away. Where 27-year-old Cullen Green was at a wedding Sunday evening. And who hasn't done this? Drank too much at a wedding. Passed out in the bathroom.
Okay.
He woke up around 1:30 a.m. Everyone was gone. Which, by the way, nobody noticed he was missing. He panicked and attempted to break through the front door of the main building. The manager was inside and heard him struggling. He then confronted him, and they began to fight. That's when they say the manager pulled out a gun and shot him several times.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's first off, don't fight. I mean, if you wake up at 1:30 in the morning and the doors are closed, then if the guy comes out and says, I'm the manager, just explain what happened, right? You don't fight. But, yeah, that was going to be a gym of the day, too. A bunch of people sent me that one. So that's your Zadok Jewelers gym of the days.
But you also know how it is. The gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gym of the day. You know how it is when you wake up after you've been on a bender and you wake up in a strange place and you instantly have, like, that fear in you and you think the first person that approaches you is, like, probably a bad guy? Is that an irrational fear that only I have?
No.
Me and this guy that got shot 50 times?
No, probably not. But by the time I get up and figure out where I am.
Right.
Because I've had a few times where I've woke up and I'm like, what the hell? Where am I? Oh, I'm in a hotel room. I'm on a trip.
Yeah.
And then once you figure that out. Because, I mean, I think everybody's done that where you wake up and you don't know where the hell you are. But once you're awake and you figure it out. And once you know, I mean, what's the big deal?
Right.
So, okay, I got locked in a bathroom. Duh, this was dumb of me. And by the way, thanks, friends. Thanks for nobody looking for me.
But no one cared. That guy was, the bride didn't even want him on the list.
Probably. Like, yeah, he's probably one of those that.
It's the groom's college friend that she was like, do you really still hang out with Todd? And Todd is like, you know, obviously a drunko. And she's like, do we have to invite him? Yes.
Well, that's the one table.
We played intramurals together freshman year. He was like my best friend.
Put him at the misfit table with the other people we don't want.
I don't want him here, but fine. If you really want him here, fine. You better not talk to any of my family.
Put him next to your cousin Gino and your other cousin who just got out of prison and put them at that table with my sister, the prostitute. So, all right. 713-780-ESPN is your number. We still have an hour to go, and it's going to be a good hour because Eric Warner from Carbach is
here. Yes, sir.
I see what he's brought.
You don't like that stuff.
Oh, just a little bit. Just a little bit.
All right, I got to tell you about TGS Insurance. Listen up, guys. If you want to save money on your home insurance, and they don't just do home insurance. They also do car insurance. We'll say they specialize in the home insurance. And it's a great. It's so easy to try out, and you're probably going to save a lot of money. This company, the savings are legit. Their average homeowner's insurance customer saving over $870 this year, and you don't need to wait till your renewal. They're going to take care of the back end. All you got to do is text the word money to 232323. The system will ask for your address. You reply back with that. They're going to send you a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. So simple, guys. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving big today with TGS Insurance. Like I said, 15 seconds, and you could save, on average, $870. Text the word money to 232323.
just supposed to be a quick before I left
it for was.
But little baby, bestie Vicky, and it quickly turned
my no-
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.